Hello everyone. Welcome to this Windows Azure Pack Express Installation MVA session. I'm Sriram Natarajan, Program Manager from Windows Azure Pack. I work on authentication, authorization, PowerShell security, and the service management API layer. With me today is Yang Cho, who's a senior technical evangelist with Microsoft. Hey, Yang.
Hi, Sheree. Hello, everyone. I am Yang Cho. I'm a technical evangelist based in Washington, D.C. I'm so excited to be here and work with Sheree. And we're going to show you some great technology that Microsoft has. It will get you up in the sky with a lot of cloud.
Great. Great to have you here, Yang. So today, what are we going to do?
Well, we're going to do a lot of demos. It's all about demos. So we're not going to have that many slides, but we're going to show you how you can really build up Windows Azure Pack in probably a couple of hours.
All right, great. So before we get started with this session, I'd like to tell you guys that there's a detailed training on Microsoft Virtual Academy on getting started with Windows Azure Pack and getting infrastructure as a service up and running in your data center. You can see that on the screen, and you should be able to go to MVA and take that course. It is very elaborate, and it will give you all the information on what it takes to set up a fully functioning IaaS infrastructure as a service stack in your data center with Windows Azure Pack. Now, that being said, what is the goal of this session? So we've had people take that training, and we've been getting questions, is there a simpler way to do this? Because I'd like to just, you know, get a demo environment up and running, or I'd like to just set it up for a dev and test scenario, and can you guys give us a good guidance on how to get this going? So the goal of today's session is to get a Windows Azure Pack environment up and running in under half a day. And Yang here is with us to show you how that can be done very easily. We'll be going over this session in five parts easily, actually. So it's more like I'm going to give you an introduction on what Windows Azure Pack is for those of you who don't already know, kind of walk you through a little bit of the architecture and all the different components in there. And then we're going to be talking about what it takes to have an IaaS stack running with Windows Azure Pack. And then I'm going to hand it over to Yang, who's going to walk you through on everything, starting from how do you install Windows Azure Pack, how do you install Service Provider Foundation, and how do you wire things up so that you can actually expose this as a service, and your customers or your developers or your department owners can go in and start deploying their own virtual machines through Windows Azure Pack. Right? So let's get on to what Windows Azure Pack really is. Windows Azure Pack is a product which blends Azure technologies with System Center and other on-premise cloud technologies and enables you to build your own private cloud in the context of your own data center. It basically brings in the best of what Azure has to offer with the best of what System Center has to offer and puts them together so that you get that exact Azure consistent experience and Azure consistent API layer sitting on top of your System Center foundation to help you provide virtual machines to your customers, right? So here is a Windows Azure Pack architecture. So you have compute, storage, and network, which has been provided to you by Hyper-V, and then you have System Center and Windows Server, which basically manage that Hyper-V layer. Windows Azure Pack basically sits on top of that, which will help you provide a self-service experience. Now, if you'd gone to Microsoft Azure, you'd have a portal and an API experience and a set of resource providers, which we call them as compute, storage, networking, service bus, database as a service. So you have this whole array of resource providers and an API layer and a portal where you can go in and deploy your resources and manage them from there, right? This exact same experience has been brought down to Windows Azure Pack so that you have your tenant experience, which is very consistent with what Microsoft Azure has. Now, apart from that, since the public Azure cloud is being deployed and run by Microsoft, there are certain operations engineers who basically go in and set everything up for you. But now, when you're deploying this in the context of your own data centers, your IT administrator needs to be able to configure the stack and have control over what gets exposed and what gets deployed. So to facilitate that, the Windows Azure Pack product has a set of admin portal and an admin API, which will let you manage the resources and the resource providers which are deployed in the context of your data center. So the IT admin can go into the admin portal and configure these individual resource providers and create something called plan, which your tenants can basically go in and get a subscription out of. And from that point on, it is the exact same consistent experience as Microsoft Azure has for you. So what does that really mean? We have the Service Management REST API layer, which is consistent with Microsoft Azure. And you have a bunch of services which have been brought down from Microsoft Azure, the most important of which is virtual machines or the IaaS experience, which has been offered by System Center. And you have a management portal for your tenants, and you have a management portal for your administrators for managing your stack and consuming your services. So how do you deploy Windows Azure Pack, and what are the different kinds of deployments that you have for Windows Azure Pack? So Windows Azure Pack has fundamentally two different kinds of deployments. It's got a distributed deployment, and it's got an express deployment. The distributed deployment is basically something which is scalable, can support high availability, and is meant for production environments, and it offers flexibility to deploy based on your customers' requirements. You will also be able to get a predefined set of performance and metrics and have a high level of security with network ACLs and firewalls and all of the good stuff which you need in your production deployments. Alternatively, if what you're doing is development, if you're a dev or if you need it for like a demo scenario, if you'd like to pitch it to your management chain for them to make business decisions and you want to quickly whip up an environment and show them how useful and how friendly the product is, you can go in for an express deployment, which is basically a one-box deployment. All you will need is a virtual machine where you can deploy your Windows Azure Pack resources along with your service provider foundation and be able to provide an IaaS experience which is consistent with Microsoft Azure. So what are these prerequisites for deploying the Windows Azure Pack? So as I said, we have two supported deployment topologies. One is an express install, which basically needs about a VM with 8 gig RAM and a dual core or a dual proc machine. And for distributed install, each of the components in the Windows Azure Pack service can be installed on a VM with the 4 GB RAM and a dual core, but you can optimize that based off of the performance metrics that you'd like to achieve. Apart from that, you will need System Center 2012 or higher. I'm sorry, a Windows Server 2012 or higher. You will need a SQL 2012 SP1 or higher, IIS, .NET, and Web Platform Installer, which is basically our carrier vehicle for installing Windows Azure Pack. For SPF, you would need like four gigs of RAM, a 3 GB hard disk at least, and a Windows Server 2012 or higher, and a SQL 2008 or 2012. You will also need ASP.NET MVC. You'll need a Windows Process Activation Service, .NET 3.5 and 4.5, all of which are like features or roles that you can install on Windows Server. With that being said, okay, so what does it take to provide infrastructure as a service with Windows Azure Pack? I'm going to assume here that you're fully aware of everything up to the Hyper-V layer, or even in fact the VMM layer. So we're going to start with Hyper-V and VMM. So our assumption is that you already have a functioning Hyper-V and a virtual machine manager environment in your data center, and you're looking to provide a self-service experience with SPF and Windows Azure Pack. So we're going to start off with the Hyper-V layer at the bottom and VMM, which is basically managing that Hyper-V layer. Now, what you have to do is basically install SPF, which is Service Provider Foundation, which basically is a REST layer, which will expose VMM functionality through an OData REST endpoint, and above it will sit your self-service Azure Pack Express installation. So your SPF, VMM, and Hyper-V layer form your infrastructure as a service resource provider, whereas your Azure Pack Express install will be the self-service and API layer, which can help you deploy resources and help you manage this stack. So what does it take to get to IaaS from VMM? I would say, assuming that you already have a VMM instance installed and configured with Hyper-V, it's going to take you just a five-step process to get to providing a simple self-service experience through Windows Azure Pack. You will first, of course, have to lay down the bits. install Windows Azure Pack and install Service Provider Foundation. The next thing you're going to do is, since SPF is the connector between Windows Azure Pack and your VMM or your System Center, you're going to configure the SPF to talk to Windows Azure Pack, or actually the other way around. You're going to configure Windows Azure Pack to talk to SPF, and you're going to configure SPF to talk to your VMM, which will talk to your Hyper-V layer, right? So install Windows Azure Pack Express, install SPF, configure SPF to talk to both Windows Azure Pack and the VMM layer, and once that's done, your entire pipeline is configured. After that, what's left is to prep some images, create some networks, and be able to expose that via SPF to your Windows Azure Pack admin portal, where you can then go in and create plans which your tenants can consume and create subscriptions out of. So, five steps, right? Now, with that being said, I'd like to kind of hand it off to Young right now, who's going to tell you a little bit about what the demo environment is going to look like. And from there on in, he's going to go into super detail on how you can actually set up Windows Azure Pack, SPF, and then hook that pipeline up and be able to provide a self-service experience. Over to you, Young.
Well, thank you, Shareed, for the introduction. So basically, for the lab environment, we are using three basic virtual machines to provide the AD infrastructure. So you will have a domain controller. You also have a SQL Server and VMM in place. And we put it in the domain. And then for SPF, we're going to put it in a separate virtual machine. And also in the Windows Azure Pack, we're going to put in a separate machine. Now, this is the, ideally, this is what you have. Now, you also need a Hyper-V host. Now, in our case, we are actually going to change it a little bit differently. First, we're going to use the Hyper-V host as a Hyper-V host in perimeter. So we're going to install a local agent there and let it talk to VMM. And also, we are going to combine the VMM with SQL. And so we're going to put it in one machine. And we're going to call it VMM. We're also going to put Azure Pack and the SPF in one machine. And so totally, we actually have four virtual machine, or four machine, I should say. The host is actually either your server or your laptop. So you can build the environment this way. So with that, it's pretty compact. So I think we can get started.
Yep. So let me get this correct. So we have a virtual machine with Windows Azure Pack and Service Provider Foundation installed. And we have a virtual machine with VMM installed, which is going to manage your Hyper-V host. So, and we have a domain controller. So with like three virtual machines and your Hyper-V host, we're able to provide a self-service experience?
That's correct. What we're going to do is, for instance, if you have a laptop that with enough random access memory, or you have a server, what we do is you establish Hyper-V, then you can deploy the virtual machine. And at the same time, you can join, from VMM, access the Hyper-V host as one in a perimeter. It's a pretty nifty setup, I think. I always like this setup, so it make it easier for me with everything compact. So with that setup, you go anywhere, you can pop it up and show people, say, hey, this is Azure Pack, and I built it.
All right, great. Let's go on to the demo then.
All right, let's get started. So the first thing is, we are assuming you now have the VMM in place. So you have the VMM, you have the domain all created. So what we want to do next is we're going to put in Azure Pack. We're going to go to Windows Platform Installer, as a matter of fact. So once you get there, you can go ahead and download the Windows Platform or WPI. Once you download it, you bring it up, and you notice that there's a different pages, if you will. You can go to the product page. And there's also Windows Azure right there. You can go ahead and click that. What we are looking for is really called Portal and API Expressors right here. That is where your Express install located. So you can go ahead and click Add. And then once we click Install, it will go ahead and actually install a number of components. And later when we finish, we come back and you will notice that. Now this page is interesting because you can stay here, go have a cup of coffee, and also watch a movie, come back, and also take a shower. You come back, it will still be here because you need to scroll it down here. You need to click this in order to go forward. So let's go ahead and continue. So this time we are downloading the bits. This is probably going to take a few minutes. Now I'm going to take this moment, opportunity to actually chat with Shareed a couple of things. First, that introduction is great. right? You tell us the distributed model, the express model, you know, the distributed model for production, and this is kind of for assessment, for testing. I think it's great. You also indicate our goal is get people up and running, right? I want to share with you. I also have a personal goal. The personal goal is once people finish this session, they don't want to watch anyone else. This is it. This is the one you want to watch so you can go ahead and build it up and show off to people. What do you think?
Yep, absolutely. I'm all game for that, actually. So when you actually install the web platform installer and you have started installing your Azure Path Express, now you saw a list of services that basically get installed on a machine. These are like individual components that contribute to your Windows Azure Pack stack. So you have your portal, your API. All of these are REST API services, which are, in simpler terms, IIS websites. So all the web platform installer is doing is basically installing the bits onto this machine, making sure that all of your dependencies are also brought in. That's the advantage of web platform installer, is that along with your component, it also makes sure that it installs all the dependencies and makes sure that everything is set up on the machine. So after your installation is complete, you would just proceed on with the configuration and then move forward with the rest of the components in the system.
And I guess if in a distributed model, that's where you kind of split it off in different virtual machine for scalability, security, performance, that kind of reasons.
Absolutely. So if you're going for the API and Express mode, all of these components are going to be installed on the same machine, right? But if you're going for a distributed installation, you would want to install different components on different machines. So on web platform installer, you should find individual line items for each individual component. So you would prepare your distributed environment by getting up all the virtual machines and then going to each virtual machine and installing that particular component of Windows Azure Path that you'd like installed on that machine. And that way, you can scale that particular VM up, put it behind the load balancer, and set it up for high availability, and you know, set up your network ACLs and stuff like that for security and line of sight.
Well, that's great. So if we do a distributed model, it's probably take into a lot of planning to do. You want to make sure you put it in the right place and distribute the workload properly, and also set the security in and everything.
Yes. So a distributed install, as I said, is basically for your production environments. When you're done playing with this, when you're comfortable with moving this environment up into production, you would prefer to go into a distributed model as that provides you with a higher level of flexibility. But if your goal is to demo, or if you're on a dev machine and you're trying to just build stuff against Windows Azure Pack, then you can just simply go in for the Express install, because there is really no reduction in functionality between an Express install and a distributed install. The only difference is in a distributed install, the components are across different machines. So your network and your line of sight and your firewalls play a major role. But on an Express install, all of these components are on the same box and you can just get up and running very soon.
Thank you for that insight. At this time, we finished our installation. So if we come back to take a look, that we finished that, and we're going to click continue. And this time, it actually brings up to our local host, which is our local IIS website, and with the port 30101. I want you to remember the number, because it's going to be meaningful as we go through the next step. So basically, we finished the installation. Now, if we just go back to the Window Explorer again to take a look, this is what exactly Sheree indicated, that there's a number of components that's been installed with that one click. And you know what? For that, I want to thank product group for doing that, because otherwise this would be so much trouble to actually go through individually to download them. So we finished this download, and if we come back to look at the component, you notice that with that one click, we actually download the fully distributed model, all the codes in the place. So we're going to exit out of that and come back to this local host with the port 30101. Let's go ahead and click continue on the website. And I think throughout this installation and in several occasions, you probably see we keep going different websites and flicking with some of the warning. I think as time comes, Sheree can give up some insight what's going on there, and so we can explain that. But here, what we want to do at this time, we want to set it up. The Azure Pack will have a database. So at this time, you want to enter your database name. In our case, we put our database in VMM. So it will be vmmweb.local. Oops.
So, Yang, while you're getting done with this particular page, What I'd like to call out here is with Web Platform Installer, the bits have been installed on your machine. What you have to do later now is configure it. Since I said all of them are websites and they have a database backend, what Young is doing right now is basically, after the installation of all the bits, he's now configuring them so that it can talk to a database and start using that database as its configuration database, right?
Exactly. So at this time, I put in our database name, and we're going to do mixed authentication into the database. Now, at this time, I'm going to put in the password. Now, it will try to validate the password. At this time, I'm expecting a failure because there's a reason here that I want to tell you. Since we put our database in VMM, so the VMM actually did not accept any incoming call through 1433. So what we need to do at this time is to go to VMM or go to your database box and put in a firewall rule to accept incoming SQL requests for 1433. So that's what happened. So at this time, let's go ahead and go to our VMM machine. And let's go ahead and open that port. I'm going to get into ISE. And in fact, I can also, I believe I put in locally in my local folder. So let's go ahead and execute this particular one. And I'm going to do an edit, which will bring up the PowerShell. So this is what we need to execute it. And let me make it bigger so you can see it. So basically, we're going to open local port 1433 to allow incoming connection. So I'm going to execute this whole thing. Okay, we're finished. So let's go back to our Azure Pack machine. And this time, we do need to go back and come back. So I'm going to close this. And I'm going to configure it again. And this time, I'm going to type my database. And so our database is on VMM machine, so that's what I do, and do a mixed authentication. And this time it's good. So we're going to do the paraphrase as phrase as well. So let's do that. Well, I got to know how to use this keyboard. Did I say that? I need to know how to use this keyboard. Did I just say that? let me just try one more time here. All right.
Well, while you're doing that, so the importance of that passphrase is that we use that passphrase specifically to encrypt all the secrets. By secrets, I mean the passwords that are stored, everything, the credentials that are used to talk between services. So we use this passphrase to encrypt all of that stuff when they're stored in our configuration database. So when you type this passphrase, you'd better remember it, because if you're trying to reconfigure another environment with the same database or you're trying to move stuff over, you will need this passphrase. Even in a distributed installment, when I said you're going to install different components on different boxes, you will use the exact same passphrase on all of the machines to configure them against your WAP configuration database. So now I see you've got your passphrase correctly.
Well, you know what? It only took me like 14 times. By the way, I wonder if our producer would get mad if I asked him to replace the keyboard next time. But anyway, let's move on. So let's do next. And here, of course, you should always want to participate in the customer experience program, but not in the demo. So we're going to do that. And this is where it's going to set up all the features. So let's go ahead and click it. And I love this part, because just see all this animation, it pumps me up. And look at all the stuff we're going to install. And again, thank you so much, Product Group. With one click, and I get to this point, I can drink coffee and also almost watch TV and do this at the same time. So this is a pretty good experience so far.
Looks like it's getting done.
Yep, and so what this is doing is basically set it up, make all the features available. And once it's finished, and we can go ahead and move to the next step. So I'm going to OK that. And I do want to exit out.
So Young, why don't you open IIS and show us all the components that just got installed and configured?
I thought you would not ask. So let's go ahead and look at our IIS right here. OK, let's go maximize it. So with that one click, this is what it brings us to. look at all this website. I feel just so much, accomplished so much. And so basically, there's a number of websites, all the ad pools, and we're going to come back later because this is a pretty significant pieces here. But yes, we successfully create all the website. Looks like we are ready for the next step.
Great. Before we move on to the next step, I'd like to call out again that we have a very detailed MVA session on what these individual components are and what they mean and how they play well with each other. I would absolutely recommend you go take that course as well so that you get a comprehensive understanding of how these components play well with each other. For the purposes of this express install, we're assuming that you already know what those components do and you can actually make progress with that particular knowledge. So with Windows Azure Pack being configured, let's go on to Service Provider Foundation. Yang?
Okay, now we have Azure Pack bits in place. The next thing is we're going to configure SPF. And the SPF, you can get it from Orchestrator Media. So on my desktop, I now have the Orchestrator Media loaded. And what we're going to do is we're going to scroll down. We're going to start the configuration program. Now, at this time, notice that under the installation, the welcome page, you see SPF Foundation. Let's go ahead and click that. And we're going to install it. I don't know about you, Sheree, but I always agree. All right, now this screen, when you look at it, it's kind of scary, right? Wow, you know, it got a whole bunch of stuff. And this is the reason why I put the SPF on the Azure Pack box. First of all, because when we put in Azure Pack, we actually have a number of components that SPF needs in place already. At the same time, we also need to install the admin console, which I have already done previously. So basically, you do VMware installation and you just select the admin console to get that in place. For this particular screen, what we need to do is we need to make sure that we need to have the IIS management scripting tools. Basic authentication, window authentication needs to be in place. The WCF data services, which is something you need to download it. And ASP.NET MVC4. MVC4 actually installed by the Azure Pack already. And also this one we need to add in the feature. Some of the feature that needed because the dependency will automatically gets added. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave the screen here. And so later when we install something, we're going to come back and sort of like revalidate that. So this time what we want to do is we do need to install, for instance, this data package, the WCF. Now for ASP.NET MVC4, we installed it already. That's why we see repair on install. So I'm going to close this. We have that already.
So before we get into this, Yang, so where did you get all of these installers from?
Oh, that's a secret, I won't tell you.
Well, I guess you have to say it.
Well, there's a couple of things that you can do is, first of all, you can go and search this name, you will find it. Others is always follow our documentation, our wiki page on Windows Azure Pack, and also follow your blogs and everything, and then go ahead and find it in the installation guide. You will find a list links there, and so go ahead and download it and get it ready, and that's what I done.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to execute this one. Okay, so that is the basically OData V3. I'm going to agree. Did I tell you I always agree? Yes, I always agree. So I'm going to install it. This takes only a second. And so once this finish install, we're going to get into a server manager, and we're going to go through the IIS installation to add all this feature that's needed. So I'm going to minimize this first. So this finished. We're going to close that. And we're going to close this. And let's go ahead and go back to the server manager. And we can go ahead and inspect the IIS setting and add the features that we need. So if you scroll down here, you're gonna see this web server. Let's go ahead and expand that. And perhaps, Sheree, you can also give us some insight in some of the setting. Why do we need it, or what's the purpose of it? For instance, in the security, very importantly, you need to include basic authentication and Windows authentication. We have that. And also the management tools, you need to make sure you include the management scripts and tools. And we go next. So .NET 3.5, .NET 4.5, we have installed it already. And if you scroll down a little bit, and I am looking for I think I just passed it. I'm looking for the management data right here.
Right there. So what you're telling me is, apart from the WCF data extension, everything else that you need to set up SPF is already there as a part of Windows Server, or as either roles or as features.
Because Azure Pack,
yes,
put all the stuff there.
Perfect.
So I'm going to go ahead and add this and do next. Now you notice that now they will give you kind of a summary of what's getting installed. And notice that, for instance, this activation, we didn't add it, but because we select the feature, that it will include that. So we're going to go ahead and do install. Now this will provide all the, pretty much the prerequisite that we need for the installation. So we're going to come back in and revalidate it once it finished the installation. This will only take a few seconds. At the same time, I would like to know, Sheree, what's your favorite color?
Blue.
I wonder, that's what you wear today, right? Actually, when we do this installation, there are times like, you know, you're kind of waiting for it. But the interesting thing is, I always take the opportunity to see what really gets installed. Sometimes there's a lot of story there that you can learn from it. The different, for instance, the management scripts and tools, I remember back in my IS support engineer days that people kind of very cautious about install these tools, right? And things like that. But we finished the installation, so we're going to close this, and we're going to close Server Manager. And what do you think? Let's go ahead and revalidate that.
Should I keep my fingers crossed?
How about that? All right, now we get all the prerequisites fulfilled. Let's go to the next step. All right, here you want to put in your database name, and let's go next. Is it okay we take the self-signed certificates?
Yes.
Cool, okay, let's go
with that. Okay.
And here, let's go ahead and use your SPF account. This is a service account that we create in a domain before we get to this point, so I create that.
So let me get this correctly. So you're basically creating an SPF account in the domain before we get to this wizard?
That's correct.
Okay.
And so next, this is a provider one. And let's do the same.
So we're making them all run under the same SPF.
That is correct. Let's go ahead and do that. Next. Ah, I type it wrong. Let me just go ahead and do that. All right. PASS. Cannot tell you the rest. Okay, the VNM group, we're going to do the same thing. SPF, that's the service account. That's not my password, by the way. So let's see what happened. Okay, the next one is the usage. So actually, we have four groups. And Sheree, there's a test after that. Do you know that?
What is it?
About these four groups.
So do all of these accounts have to be the same account, or can you create different accounts for them?
I guess you can create different accounts, but this is really, are you talking about the four?
Yeah.
Or probably use the same accounts better, but certainly you can use different. I think you just need the authority. But the SPF account acts as a lot of other stuff, right? I think one account is probably the best ideal.
Okay.
Okay. And here, as I recommended, we should always participate, right? But not during a demo. So we're going to click off here. And let's go ahead and install it. So this is going to create a couple of security groups for us.
Okay.
And we're going to find out what this does to the IIS, all those websites.
So this is basically going in and configuring the SPF service in IIS, and it's giving the appropriate groups permissions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So after this, okay, we're finished.
So how do we go validate if everything's been set up correctly?
You know what? I actually have a cheat sheet. Let's go ahead, and this is my cheat sheet here. So first, we need to check the connectivity with virtual machine, VMM, and then we can go ahead and look at the effect that it has produced. So let's go ahead and do that. I will do that with PowerShell. Just get SVMM server, you know, and put on our server name. Let's go ahead and execute that. Okay, it comes back. So basically, we have connectivity. And then next, we can actually test the SPF OData connectivity. And I have actually populated the URL here with our machine using port 8090. So I'm going to OK that, and I'm going to click that. And here, let's go ahead and authenticate.
So you're basically going to enter the SPF credential that we used while we're authenticating, or sorry, while we configured the SPF service, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And let's just go ahead and do that. Ah, I tell you what, let's come back and take a look at this. Let's check out what's happening in IIS first, because that maybe has something to do with it. So in IIS website, first we have the SPF site. And at an SPF site, we need to make sure we have basic authentication. It's enabled. And the app pool, if we search the identity, we see all these app pool ads have been created. Okay, I think so far so good, and we can definitely take a look on that OData. And so next, what we will do is let's check out the tenant admin site.
Okay, so what we've done so far is basically we've installed Windows Azure Pack, and we've installed SPF, and we've configured it with VMM, so it can actually talk to VMM. So the part that's left right now is for us to basically go into the Windows Azure Pack admin portal mm-hmm. and be able to connect this SPF installation to Windows Azure Pack so that you now have that IaaS pipeline flowing all the way from Windows Azure Pack all the way down to VMM and Hyper-V. So let's go to the Windows Azure Pack portal and take a look at that.
Okay, so this is Azure portal. I have authenticated in already, and let's go ahead and do that.
So this is basically the VMM extension that is there on the Windows Azure Pack admin portal, correct?
That is correct.
It is the VM Clouds that's there. And when you click on it, and in the quick start, you get to register a service provider foundation endpoint, right? So HTTPS, WAP box.
Yes, that's correct. All right, now, we're going to use a local account to make the connection. In other words, where the SPF is installed. And that I have pre-created already. I realized that I also need to make sure I give it all the permission that it needs. So let's just kind of go back to the window management, computer management. Let's check out a user. And for this local account I have created, this is a local account. I'm going to make that connection. And we need to make sure it's in all this security group in order to be able to make that connection. At the same time, when we install the SPF, it also create all these groups. And remember that membership, that's what we put in. And here, we need to add in the administrator. Administrator, did I provide it right? This is domain admin. Let's go ahead and OK that. This, if you don't have that, you should go ahead and add it in. And let's go ahead and check the second one. Okay, we don't have it. Look, somehow we miss it. Let's go ahead and add that in.
So these four groups are being created when SPF is being configured. And so we go into system local groups, and we're now going to add the domain administrator into all of these groups.
Right, supposedly it should be there, but if it's not, I'm going to manually add it in.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so we have the web administrator. And at this time, I think we're ready. Let's go ahead and just click that. And we're going to use the local account, so that's web box SPF underscore local. I'm going to make the connection. I'm sorry, this is our local box, so web box where we install the SPF and 8090. The username that we should put in webbox underscore local. I think I put in web last time. So let me just make sure I do the password correctly. And let's go ahead and OK that.
Okay.
It registered. Can you believe that?
So that 8090 is something that people regularly
You should never
miss.
Forget, right?
Yes. So basically, when you're registering the SPF endpoint, don't forget the 8090 in there, because that'll not register the SPF endpoint with Windows Azure Pack. Okay, so now that we're done with SPF, we should now go register our VMM.
Our VMM, so vmm.web.local. Let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to this.
So this is basically connecting WAP to the VMM instance, and it's actually registering the VMM instance with WAP also. Okay, so the VMM cloud seems to have been registered, and you can actually see a bunch of the clouds that have been registered inside in the VMM instance. That looks good. So we now have SPF and VMM registered, and that about wraps this up. So in summary, what we did in this particular module is that we installed the Windows Azure Pack, we installed Service Provider Foundation, and we made sure the Service Provider Foundation can talk to VMM, and we registered SPF and the VMM instance in Windows Azure Pack. So now our IaaS pipeline, starting from Windows Azure Pack all the way down to your VMM and Hyper-V, is complete. In the next module, we're basically going to go over and talk about how you can create images, networks, etc. in VMM and expose them via SPF and create plans in Windows Azure Pack, which will basically enable your tenant to subscribe to the plans and then be able to create virtual machines.